The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Boys, and good afternoon. Welcome to the program, and it's a big day on the show, and I realize a lot of you are going back and forth between this and Augusta, and we'll update you as we go throughout the afternoon if anything significant happens at the Masters. Welcome to Thursday. Yesterday, we talked a great deal about some events that could be going on today, and that's in Baton Rouge, where the state legislature continues to look in to these allegations about the LSU football program. Glenn Gilbo was with us here yesterday talking about what could be going on.
They don't feel like LSU did enough, and they should have fired people after the Hush Blackwell report. They didn't do enough in disciplining people. They just suspended two associate athletic directors for a couple of weeks. They're already off suspension. They want people fired, particularly Virge Ausberry and Miriam Seeger and possibly others. I think that's what they're looking for. Scott Woodward has not said much about this at all. He was at a press conference after the Hush Blackwell report was released in early March. I think there's some disappointment in him as well for not firing people in light of this. You know, LSU's just kind of sticking together here. And even though Scott Woodward's a new athletic director, he just got here in 2019, he's very much embedded with all these LSU people because he was here. He's from Baton Rouge. He knows everyone because LSU hasn't had a lot of personnel changes over the years. So it's all one big family, much like a mafia family, I would say.
Interesting comments there from Glenn. Let's move on and talk about some things closer to college and pro football, and that is Justin Fields, the former Georgia player, had his second pro day. A lot of interest in him and a lot of controversy as well. You know, many are wondering why he is not being projected higher on the board. Now, remember, these are all projections right now by media people, not by the NFL. The 49ers are very interesting because they have the third pick in the draft. And as of this hour, the betting odds are they're going with Mac Jones, subject to change. Meanwhile, Kellen Mond has been moving on up the boards. The great Texas A&M quarterback has been fairly quiet until recently, but a lot of whispers, according to SI.com, that he could surprise some people on draft day. So this is right now the Todd McShay board. That's what I was referring to a minute ago. I mean, these are projections. They may not be right, but they're projections. That's all. They're on the best available information at this time. Trevor, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, 1, 2, and 3. Trey Lance to the Panthers, and there's a projection that Justin Fields will go 11th to the Patriots. They recently re-signed Cam Newton for a year. Meanwhile, the conversation continues about Bryce Young. He had a great scrimmage, but some are wondering, is it a foregone conclusion? What about Paul Tyson? Remember Stephen A. M. Smith a couple weeks ago telling you, keep your eye on Paul Bryant's great grandson. So the tail of the tape is pretty sparse right now between the two because neither one has done a great deal. In terms of ranking, though, this is where they came out of the draft. Came out of high school, but don't be misled by that. Paul Tyson has a lot going for him right now, and we have a lot to do today. And we are going to talk to a number of guests here on the program, and we look forward to that. And here is what we have for you on the show. Let's start with Pete Fudiak from College Football News, Brody Miller from The Athletic. He covers LSU. Billy Lucci covers the Aggs. Laura Rutledge on the draft from NFL Live. Richard Johnson from the Split Zone Duo podcast. And later on, Kyle Peterson trying to sort out who the best in the SEC are, and all you really need to do is just look at the top five teams in the country. Vanderbilt seems like maybe they have done some separation, but we're still a month and 3 weeks away from the SEC baseball tournament. But the conference, which never disappoints in baseball, continues to dominate. More of your phone calls? Well, how about some of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Let's start with James, who is up next. James, thank you, and always great to hear from you. Good afternoon.
Paul, it seems like they're disappointed down there in LSU or USA Today that nobody's been fired. Is that what I'm feeling?
Well, I can just quote what our guest yesterday said. He said there has been some surprise from people that nobody has been fired yet. And what they're really talking about there are two people in particular, long-time veterans. One was suspended for 21 days. The other was suspended for 30 days. There's a sense, I don't know. I don't live there, that those two people should have been fired.
Well, I mean, I would hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but I've got that in my pedigree, athletic director. I don't like to blow my own horn too much, but what they can do, if they just push the one they got down there out, They can hire me. I'll come in as the AD for $100,000, and I'll fire those two guys, and then I'll let them have it back. Okay, Paul, that's all I got today.
Well, that was just absolutely brilliant there, James. Yeah, listen, I think when you talk about firing people, what does that mean? That means that people who watch this, fans, feel like something should be done. And I don't agree with it, by the way. I'm just trying to represent what James in his convoluted notion was trying to get at. When somebody is accused of something, when they're suspended, There's a debate. Should more have occurred? Sometimes you can also say that people like that are sacrificial lambs, and when they get fired, and I don't have all the details. It just seems to most common sense folks that there is more to the story than what we have heard, and there now you have multiple lawsuits clouding the picture as well. We're heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Many, many guests, as we have discussed with you. They'll start coming in here pretty quickly. And we'll also be taking your phone calls throughout the entire afternoon. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. As I said at the top of the show, this is the first day of the Masters. I'm curious because I'll never forget. I covered my first Masters a little more than 30 years ago, and the coolest thing about it was everyone getting you ready for the experience. I had many countless people who called me and said, "Hey, here's what you need to do. Here's where you need to go. Here's the route you need to take around Amen Corner." And I will tell you, having been there many, many times, it never gets old, no matter whether you've been there 100 times or 5 times. The 100th time or the 500th time, there is still a sense of excitement. And I'm curious how many of you have ever been there. I would assume many have. It is clearly an event that's, while it's not easy to get a ticket, I was surprised how many people, you know, in going over there for so many years covering it, you know, through someone, because of the proximity to the South, have been able to get in and end up being patrons. It's really extraordinary. I mean, you would think you would need to be a billionaire, but, and in some ways you would, in today's current environment. But, you know, if you got in early, which is the same axiom that you could use for almost anything, you get in, and it's like Green Bay Packer tickets. You never give up your seats. It is truly a remarkable experience. I'd be interested to hear from some of you today. Doesn't have to be right this minute, but over the next couple of hours, or even tomorrow, your experience, your first experience in particular. Meanwhile, Alabama has just continued to make a killing on the recruiting trail. They're already portending for one of the best recruiting classes in the country. And just a minute ago, they picked up a high-profile transfer from Texas Tech. He's a combo guard, Namari Burnett, who is a top 35 overall player nationally in the 2020 recruiting class, has committed officially to the University of Alabama basketball. So Nate Oates continues to rack it up. And for all of those who are thinking that maybe that was a one-time flash in the pan, you may want to think again. Okay, back to the calls right now. 855-242-7285. And let me check in with Keith, if I can find my cursor here. Keith in Connecticut. Keith, thank you and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. My name is Keith McClellan. I've been a diehard Alabama fan since 1970. My question to you is, I know the defense is going to be stout this year. I was just wondering what you think of the chemistry of the receiver core, tight end per running game, the balance, how they're going to pan out. What's your opinion?
Keith, thank you for the call and the question. And I think it's a little bit difficult to answer right now, and maybe after spring. I mean, you're talking, you're not talking about a completely new group, because, you know, the wide receiver core was deep, and really over the last 5 or 6 years, it has been replaced, you know, one all-conference, all-American, top 20 draft choice after another. So there is talent behind that, and there's definitely talent at running back. I think it's really a matter of, you know, is that line going to be what it was last year? You know, Dickerson moves on. He was a critically important piece of that puzzle. And, you know, with a new quarterback, you know, how does he operate, and what kind of chemistry is he going to have with the receivers? I suspect it's going to be good. And I heard that the last scrimmage, I think it was either Friday or Saturday, was fantastic for Bryce Young. But again, it's a little bit early to make a proclamation. I appreciate the call, though, from Connecticut. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And Grady is in South Carolina. Hello, Grady. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? I hope you're feeling well. It's been a while since I talked to you.
Well, I am doing well. Thank you. Thank you, Grady.
Paul, I'm a big Gamecock fan, but something's disturbing to me. Especially basketball. You got Frank Martin over there, and you got maybe 1,000, you know, transfer people, you know, and it don't seem like we're getting nobody. And I just wondering, you know, what might be going on. And same thing with football, you know, just don't know what we're picking up, no recruits. What can you tell me about that?
Well, Grady, thanks for the call. I think basketball is a problem, and, you know, every time there's a conversation about Frank Martin, we all say the same thing, me included. We like Frank. He's a great leader. But you have to win. He's been to one tournament in his 8 years. It just so happened that he made it to the Final Four. My question is, you know, would he still be there without the Final Four appearance? You'll have to tell me the answer if you're a Gamecock fan. I think next year is a big year for him. Like him or not, that's not really a question. You have to get to the NCAA tournament. That is the oxygen that feeds a college basketball team. Without it, you're nobody. And I know that sounds cruel, but that's just the reality of the situation. In football, I don't really know how to answer your question. We've talked to two or three people, and there is a little bit of concern about why Shane Beamer has not gotten commitments yet. But I will also say that is probably the one thing about Shane Beamer I am not concerned about. I think he will eventually be a really strong, if not a great recruiter. The question is, what type of staff does he have, and what is a team going to look like, you know, with a coach who has never been in that position before? So I hope that answers your question. I am less concerned about the football program right now in the short term than I am the basketball program. I don't think South Carolina is going to have a great season, though, in football. I'm not one of these Pollyannas that, whether I like Shane Beamer or not, and I do, I think he's in for a fairly difficult transition where he needs to really step it up recruiting and hope to start building this program in a fairly efficient way. Will Muschamp simply did not do it. Let's check out Tom, who is next up in Arkansas. Tom, thank you and good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you for keeping some of your regulars off, as I know it adds a lot of color to the show, but I much more appreciate when you bring in people who know what they're talking about rather than some of the ones who were just your regular callers. So much more appreciated the way you're running the show now. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And I will tell you, Tom, that is a conundrum we have here. And I don't think, if I could just talk to the audience for a second, I don't think there is a show in America that caters more to the audience than this one. And I don't usually brag about the show, but I know that to be a fact. I've done the show a number of years, and our goal has always been to cater to the audience, to serve the audience, and let the audience be the star. But I will also tell you that, you know, we don't purposely keep people off this show. I mean, there are a few exceptions, and I think those are pretty self-evident. And I just ask all of you, we want every one of you to participate, but you also have to think about this. If you ask the same question every day, are you really contributing? Are you really participating? Or are you just, is that call about you? And, you know, that's all I ask you. I want you to call in. We love the conversation. We love the interaction. One of my favorite callers called in the other day, about a week or two ago, and he was upset because the phone screener asked him what he wanted to talk about. And he said, I just want to say hello to Paul. That's a double-edged sword. We have great people that man the phones, and it's a very difficult job. It can be harrowing. You know, we have one or two callers that have decided that they are more important than the show and have harassed those young people that are up in Connecticut answering the phone. So I'm always going to be their advocate. But in this particular case, I defended the caller because, frankly, I knew him. The screener didn't. And, you know, we have that type of relationship where I just enjoy talking to the person because he's not asking me the same question every day. He's carrying on a conversation. So it's really, we're not, we try to be judicious. I mean, I look down at a board. We have a number of calls, and it's a little bit like being an orchestra leader. I once was the guest conductor at a symphony. It was part of a fundraising deal. And I thought I was so great. I didn't know what I was doing, and the symphony didn't look at me the whole time, and I'm waving the baton. A great conductor has to know how to improvise. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Every call wants to talk about the same subject. So my admonition to all of you is please call and, you know, bring whatever you like to. I mean, I love talking about things that are unconventional. I think the audience knows that. Some of you may not like it, but I want to hear about your life. I want to hear about your experiences. I'm interested in what you're interested in. I have a limited amount of knowledge as the host. I know a little bit, and if we don't know it, we have a number of great people in the back room that can probably look it up for us. But mostly, we just want to have conversations here. We are going to take a break and have a conversation with our first guest in a minute. And the phone number is 855-242-7285. Pete Futak joining us to talk some college football right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you on. It's been a long time since Pete Futek joined us. Pete, thank you for dropping by, and can't wait to get some of your knowledge and outlook on the upcoming season. How are you? Good afternoon.
I'm doing fine. How have you been? I haven't actually talked to you, I think, since last year. So everything's going well. I mean, we got college football last year. It looks like it's going to kind of be more and closer to normal this year. And, hey, look, if we could get through last year with a season, this year should be a breeze.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to someone earlier today that I haven't seen in a long time, and it's almost like we just skipped a year, and you know, we just picked up things from a year ago in April, and we're back to, I mean, we're not normal, but we're a lot closer to it than the end of the world. So it's great to have you here. And let's talk first of all about the big picture in college football, because everybody seems to be wondering the same thing. We had Commissioner Oresco on yesterday, and you know, we asked him about expanding the playoffs, and is there anything we can do right now until the end of this agreement? Because it does seem, I hate to use the word stale, because these teams are great and they earn their way in, but the college football audiences nationally continue to diminish.
It's stale if the games are bad. And we were spoiled for the first part of the college football playoff run by the semifinals weren't always that great, but we had these epic championship games where you had the Clemson-Alabama classics and the amazing finish to Georgia-Bama, and the Rose Bowl when Baker Mayfield versus Georgia was phenomenal. So we had a whole bunch of really good games mixed in with the mixed matches. But the last couple years, when you have blowout national championships that are over pretty much after the first 15 minutes, and you really don't have interesting semifinal games. I mean, we had the Fiesta Bowl a couple years ago, the Ohio State-Clemson game, but Notre Dame wasn't really anything in the last couple years. LSU ripped through everybody, and then last year Alabama ripped through anybody. So it's fun when you have the four monster programs that, okay, they're the elite of the elite. Okay, we got the big boys playing, as long as the games are really good. As soon as they aren't, then it becomes really stale and sour. And it's not really even about the matchups. It's not like college basketball where, let's say you get a stray, you know, team in there that just so happens to be a power five. Let's say Northwestern wins the Big Ten championship and somehow slides in and gets annihilated 52-0 in the first round. It just, you can't just kind of luck your way on the right day in the college football playoff. However, it would be fun if, as we're talking here on, what is it, April 9th, that we didn't already know that 75 teams are already out of the college football playoff contention. It just, it's not fun. You've got to have some sort of cure at the end of the stick. And my continued argument is, I don't know why we can't have like a smorgasbord Saturday, where the week right after the conference championships, we have eight teams, all the Power Five conference champions, the top group of five conference champ, and two wild cards played on the home field of the higher seeds. There'll probably be a bunch of blowouts, but who cares? At least you're there at that point. Then at least Cincinnati's of the world can say, hey, look, at least we got our shot. At least we get in a Texas A&M of last year. You know, so there's ways to do this where you at least include everyone to get to that Final Four, where then during the season itself, you keep the integrity of the regular season, but then you at least give someone hope that, you know what, you lose a game and you're not totally out of it. Plus, it would add even more fire to the conference championship games themselves.
You know these people, Pete. I don't want to act like I don't, but it doesn't seem like they are paying much attention because they all have their own fiefdoms to worry about, don't they?
Absolutely. But if you remember, there was the, you know, we know Bill Hancock, and there was the argument for so long there that you couldn't change the bowl system. You just couldn't tweak it because it just disrupted the natural order of things. I remember there was one specific piece of PR that came out that said, you know, the bowl system, you take this away and you hurt the troops. There's a whole bunch of, until all of a sudden they just said, yeah, all right, we're just going to change it. You know, remember how, you know, it was going to be, they're going to try to make it a thing that it was going to be a New Year's Eve type of tradition until that was a big failure. And they said, yeah, that's not going to work. So we're just going to pivot off that. They could pivot off this pretty fast if they really, really want to. And I'm not sure where the impetus is going to come because they're not really, as crazy as it sounds, motivated by money. And they are, like you said, they are bowl people. And so they want to keep the bowls in place. But I think if there was a way to do this where you had that niche in mid-December before the bowl season got started, you could keep everything pretty much the same and still have an extra first round of a college football playoff that would at least add a little more to this without taking away. Because remember, the only reason why we got a college football playoff to begin with is they didn't change anything. All they did is they rebranded a BCS championship into a college football playoff, and they really just sort of added one extra game. So they didn't have to change the infrastructure of the bowl season itself.
Pete Futek with us from College Football News. Pete, let's I'd love to keep talking about the subject, but unfortunately, I would be better just banging my head against the wall in terms of getting a quicker result. So allow me to ask you about this season, and if I take out Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson and Oklahoma, I mean is there someone else? I would think Georgia is in this list, but who are the schools that we should be paying attention to other than the ones who will probably get there?
And that's it. You know, here's going to be the funky part about this season. If not now to get these teams, then when? Because the big weird thing about this season is going to make 2021 more unique is that you get that extra year of eligibility for the seniors. So you get all these guys who are like, wait a minute, I don't want to go out in the real world and get a job when I can play college football for an extra year and just live the life. So you've got all these teams which have an obscene amount of starters returning. Like team after team after team has like 20 starters coming back, except for the biggest of the big guys. Like Alabama loses guys, Ohio State loses guys. The one team that kind of doesn't, though, outside of their backfield is Clemson. So, but there's going to be some teams out there that are just on experience alone going to come back and be really sharp and really good and really strong. The other really funky part about this is how much of an aberration was 2020? I mean, Iowa State, okay, I guess they're good, but it's hard to kind of buy in there. Indiana is going to be in people's top 10. You're going to have like teams like Liberty, which return absolutely everybody from last year and still has, you know, a team good enough that could beat Ole Miss on the right day or rise up and beat teams. So it's going to be a different sort of year, and you've got to also assume that Wisconsin's going to bounce back. They were hammered by COVID last season, and they lost all their receivers. Michigan's not going to be that bad again. Penn State's not going to be all that bad again. So at the very least, those four teams, and you're right, throwing Georgia as a fifth. If you're going to give me those, you know, four of those five teams versus the field, I'll take all four of those teams to get into the college football playoff. But at the very least, it's going to be a harder path for an Ohio State to get through the East again. It's going to be a little bit tougher this year for an Alabama. Because, again, they lose a ton of guys, and the LSUs and the Texas A&Ms of the world get just about everyone else back. So it's going to be a little bit tougher to get to those teams at the final end of the rainbow.
Pete, we talk about coaches all the time, and you know, this is the list season. We've seen top 20 coaches and all that, but I'm really curious, as somebody who knows a lot of the underbelly And I'll take Lincoln Riley off the table because I don't think you could say Lincoln Riley is any longer an ascending coach. But who are some of those coaches that we don't know so much about that you would keep your eyes on? Maybe not at this year because of their circumstances, but 5 years from now, when Saban leaves or 10 years, whenever, 15, 20. But who are the coaches that you're watching for the future?
Yeah, it's so hard, obviously, to throw anybody and say, with the same sentence or even conversation as Saban or any of those types. But in terms of just the guys for this year, who it's going to be really interesting to see what they can do, going really, really super ultra deep cut here, watch Jed Fish at Arizona.
Right.
The early returns are that he's just a different sort of coach for that program. All of a sudden, they're going to have a defense again at Arizona. Everyone there seems to love him. He seems to be one of those guys where if he has any semblance of success, all of a sudden he's going to be one of the highest rising guys in a hurry just because he's that guy. I'm curious to see what Josh Heupel does at Tennessee. I know he didn't necessarily keep UCF rocking and rolling at the highest of levels, but all of a sudden if you get an offensive system that can be really funky and maybe throw a curveball until they get the talent level back up, he's one of those guys. And then I've said this all along, I'd be really interested in your thoughts on this. I've always been a Lane Kiffin apologist. I know the knocks. I know what people say and everything, but he took a better job when he left Tennessee for USC. He kind of got a little bit of a raw deal because he was there during the Reggie Bush sanctions when he was at SC. And look what he's kind of doing at Ole Miss, at least with that offense early on. I think that guy at an even bigger program again with a second time around, now that he's been around long enough, I think he could possibly turn into that coach who's got the chops, if you can get past the other stuff, to really be that superstar of superstars on the collegiate level.
Well, some great stuff there from Pete Futak. Pete, come back soon. We enjoyed it, and we hope you stay well.
Absolutely, anytime. Good to talk to you again, Paul.
You got it. Great stuff there. Some really interesting comments here. We'll chew on that during the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And yeah, welcome back. Let's check out Tom up next. Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Paul. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I'm first-time caller. Been watching, listening for a long time, 50 years.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm a big Alabama fan. I just have to say, before I say anything about football, that I'm totally thrilled with the basketball program that Nate Oates is putting together at Alabama and his nod to Wimp Sanderson with the Jackets. I think it's just a really great.
Very smart.
But also what I'd like to really what I call for was to I hear a lot of people comparing Coach Saban with Coach Bryant. Now, while there's no way that you can't say Coach Saban is one of the greatest of all time. And there's so much to me in comparing with Bryant that is so much the same. I almost think that Bryant has come back as Nick Saban. But and at the same time, I go back to when Bryant retired, why in the world did they not hire either Coach Stallings or Howard Schnellenberger? I think they would have.
Well, Tom, let me. I can answer. I can answer that question for you. They both were considered. In fact, Gene Stallings was seriously considered for the job. But here is why Stallings thinks he didn't get it. I've asked him about that. In fact, about 4 months ago, we talked to him about that on the program. He was in the middle of he was working with the Dallas Cowboys at the time, and the Cowboys were heading to the playoffs, and he was coaching, I believe, the secondary. And he told Alabama that he could not leave until the playoffs were over, including the, if the Cowboys went to the Super Bowl. And he thinks that cost him the job. I don't think it did myself. I covered that story. And I saw it a different way. The man who made the decision was the president at the University of Alabama, Joab Thomas. And I have always believed, and I've interviewed him about this, and he denied it, but he can deny. Well, I don't even know if he's still alive, but I think he was. I think he wanted the program to go in a different direction, in a fresher direction than Bryant. I asked him this on the sideline, I believe, at the. At the Liberty Bowl, and I thought he was going to take a swing at me because I said, "Did you push Coach Bryant out?" It was better asked than that, but there was this insinuation that by going to Ray Perkins, who really wasn't a Bryant favorite. I mean, he was a player, but he wasn't part of the Bryant. Gene Stallings and Paul Bryant are the same person essentially.
Exactly, that's how I see it. But, and Howard Schnellenberger, just everywhere he went, he put a team on the map.
Yeah, like but Miami. You have to remember, I mean, the Schnellenberger thing, I still think there was some misunderstanding, and it was explained a couple of days ago after Howard died. But that's my best reason, and I will go to my grave believing what I said to be true because I talked to all the people involved. This isn't just... Hey, this is my theory. I interviewed Stallings. I interviewed the president. I interviewed every coach who was up for the job. And I think it came down to one person thinking he knew more than everyone else.
Hey, and there's just one last thing I wanted to run across you and make sure I'm right on this. Coach Bryant had the opportunity for 2 3-peats. In national championships in the 60s, won 2 in a row in the 60s and 2 in a row in the 70s. The third year after those 2 wins, he had a undefeated team both times and just did not get the votes. And I think that should be given.
Well, no, the third time, hold on a second. You're right about the first time around. But he won the title in 78 and 79, but he did not have an undefeated season in 1980.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure about that.
Alabama in 1980 lost to Mississippi State first, and then they came back, and I believe they lost to Notre Dame a couple weeks later.
Well, how about in the 60s? How was that?
Well, the 60s is you are correct. In they won it in 64 and 65, and they were undefeated in 1966. And that was the famous controversial situation that Keith Donovan wrote that book entitled "The Missing Ring," where the title the award was given to the championship was given to Notre Dame, which had tied Michigan State, and they went for the tie. They didn't try to win the game, and then the next week they went out and beat Southern Cal. So that is a little bit of old history there, but that's the way it went. Anyway, we are going to continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We have already talked to Pete Futak from the College Football News. We'll talk to Laura Rutledge in about an hour about the NFL draft. And many, many more guests, including Brody Miller from The Athletic, about the LSU situation. He is next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.